I just want to pray before we start. And Father, we want to thank you this morning that we can be together. God, what an honor and privilege it is, Lord, to be here this morning and know that you are with us, that you're not absent, you are present, Lord God. And we want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here, that you are our counselor. And we need you, Father, as we, Father, gather here. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak through me, that you will speak through these words. Give me the words to speak, Father. I pray that every heart here this morning will be open. And Father, you open ears this morning. And Father, just pray that you'll come and give us an understanding, a revelation of your heart. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of your people, Father. Thank you for moving us forward, God. And even people that feel stuck in their journey and their relationship with you, Father, that you are taking their hand and leading them forward into your promises, into the things of your Spirit. And so we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, I'm excited just to continue this morning. We started a series, in the second half of January, and it's a series that we've entitled In Christ. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul, a wonderful spiritual leader with a passion for God's people, a passion to see churches grow, and he's a bit of a every nation guy, all right? So he loves the nations. He loves to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And that's pretty much our heart as a church as well. We love people, we love the nations, and we certainly love our God. And so I want to share with you a message this morning as we have been doing a chapter by chapter. We've done from chapter 1, and we're going to this is the first half of a two-part of Ephesians 6. I'm looking forward to Conrad sharing the second half there. Lenny shared a message there last week from chapter 4, and he did a bit of 5. He didn't quite get through the whole of chapter 5, but we want to get back to it, okay? I'm going to not just skim over that. I really believe there's some important things that Paul wants us to take hold of and know. That's why it's there. And so we're going to do another part. You know, over the next couple of months, we will get back to that part. So please don't feel that we are just going to just skip over that. But there's something I want to share with you this morning that I believe it's relevant for our time right now. I really believe that this is a message that God has given to me. And because I believe some of us here, you know, you have been, I've entitled that Stand Your Ground. And I really believe some of us here this morning have really found it hard, really, to stand your ground, okay? There's some things that's been coming up against you, and you're like, oh my goodness, I just hope and pray that this will end, okay? But I really want to encourage you through this message and some of the truths that is here from Ephesians 6 that I want to share with you this morning, that I really pray that this that you'll find this helpful, because I found this very helpful in 99 when I recommitted my life to God. And you know, I became a Christian when I was 8 years old. I went to a traditional church, loved God, loved going to church, and but then from about the age of 13, things kind of went down a little bit for me through my teenage years. And then in 99, I recommitted my life in the midst of a trial. Now, some of you know my story, you know, and how God came to the rescue for me in London at the time. I was traveling through Europe, really just searching for that unknown, you know. And certainly God encountered me in one of the most unusual places and locations that you'll find. And I ended up working. I was quite desperate. Ended up working in a cemetery, believe it or not. And one of my jobs was to actually bury people. I mean, I ended up started off cutting grass, and then I was pulled in because one of the guys retired and he said, look, I want you to you know, here's some responsibilities. So I did not know what I signed up for. But you know what? That's the place where God started speaking to me. There's a scripture that he says that he prepares a table for me in the midst of my enemies. Okay. So he really just prepared a table for me right there in that cemetery where I started to hear God's voice for the very first time, a very unusual place. Okay. And so God started speaking to me about my life, about that he's here for me. And, he just kind of confirmed it through some people at that time. And so when I decided, Rick, I need help, I need to really get my foundation strengthened in God. I want to be established in this faith. And so this is the first scripture chapter that but people that discipled me at the time, they took me to Ephesians 6 and said, Johan, this is very important that you get this. I want to, you know, really give you understanding of what you have been through. And I'm like, please help. Explain that to me. Okay, so I'm going to try my best to help you this morning. And I don't know where you are at in your journey with God and how long you've been in the faith. But the reality is, friends, that you will go through some challenges in your life. You will. We're all on a journey. And I believe that God has called us for some amazing things. You know, we were just in West Belfast there on Tuesday night. We were talking about Psalm 23, and you know, the Lord's my shepherd; He leads me through, and I just love that of God, how He leads us through some situations in our lives. And so, I want to just jump in right into Ephesians 6. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn there to Ephesians 6, verse 10. I'm going to read here. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, Paul, the apostle Paul, writes this letter to the church of Ephesus, and you know he's writing this letter from a place of experience. Now, how many of you know that Paul have been through some stuff in his life? You know, I just recall the time that he was shipwrecked, you know, in Malta, and there was this snake that came out and wrapped itself around his arm, and he shook it off. You know, and he's been through some stuff in his life. I mean, look, he's writing this letter from a place, a position in prison. All right? There's a place of desperation. So he's really sharing his heart here, and he's saying to the people, you know, I want you to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You know, I have been doing a bit of training, okay? Where's my friend? You know, I have been doing a bit of boxing with, we've been doing boxing in West Belfast. And, you know, and just training, you know, we all need a coach, okay? So, you know, for me, like talking about battle, you know, and fight, it is a skill, isn't it, John? It's something that we learn. It's something that we need to go through some training. And it says there, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. And so we had to go through some training. And the same with the Apostle Paul. You know, he's gone through some training. There's some things that he's learned from his experiences. And, you know, he certainly knows, and he says this, that there is a battle. There is a battle that is not a physical battle, okay? So our physical battle is not against... I brought my gloves this morning, okay? So what is our fight against? Our fight is against, says there, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Now, I've experienced in my own life that there is a battle going on. I call it the battle between the kingdom of light against the kingdom of darkness. You know, what I've discovered, where there's light, there's no place for darkness. Darkness is got to flee. Now, from we as Christians, and this is the lovely truth of when we are in Christ, we are in the kingdom of light. And so wherever we go, you know, I have found when we're in a dark room, what happens when you switch on the light? Darkness go. I love that. The fact that light displaces darkness. And that is who we are part of. That's the kingdom. And so these two kingdoms, there's a conflict between these two kingdoms against the authorities. And I have found, you know, in my life that there's some things that is taken place that it's so difficult to explain with my human understanding, thinking and reasoning, and what just happened there. You know, there's moments that I have felt so powerless and so defeated. And then when I read about the scripture, you know, and how David called upon the Lord and something happened, and I thought to myself, you know what? I can also call on God. And when I called upon his name, something happened in that moment. It's so difficult to explain, but I felt literally this power that came over me. A power that enabled me to stand in the midst of what I was facing at that moment. Now, I've been, and some of you know my story, I've been through depression. I've been, you know, at times, you know, just before 99, 98, where I was suicidal and, you know, just walking through London aimlessly, you know, without purpose. And I thought to myself, there's no way, there's nothing to live for. There's moments where I've kind of thought about, you know what, I'm going to just end my life because there's really no purpose for me. And I literally could hear voices. I could feel this discouragement that came over me. And so this scripture became very real to me when people started explaining to me, you know what, there is a battle going on. There is a battle in the heavens. And there's a battle going on over people's lives. You know, there's a battle going on over nations, over cities. Do you know that there's a battle going on over this nation? And that battle is, friends, is a battle over your heart. And that's what I'm going to explain to you, this Ephesians 6, the significance of it. Why do we need to put on the full armor? Because I believe that there's a battle for your heart, not just your heart, but for your mind. And so what God is saying, what Paul is saying, that he wants us to stand. Whatever you're facing, that you will be able to stand on some promises. That's where he's listed it. There's some truths in Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4. And now as we come to Ephesians 6, he wants us to walk it out. So it's literally applying those scriptures, those truths, applying it to your life. And that's what we as every nation, as we reach out to people and you know, they make a decision to follow God, it's so important that we want to be very intentional, is to help them be established in the Word of God. Because I've seen too many men come to know God, have this amazing emotional experience the power of God, and then they just back to square one. It's almost like you would call yo-yo Christianity, up and down. But when we help them understand some biblical principles, some truths. Help them to be established in the scripture, in God's word. And to prepare them for that backlash. Because I remember that. I remember as they went through this scripture and this chapter, I thought, man, this is amazing. And then, you know, weeks after that, you know, there was this backlash. And I heard these voices. I heard, you know, just things, you know, so much discouragement. And I could go back to what the scripture says. And that helped me, you know, during that time. We've also just, this was myself and this was John, this is a, what is it, two-time Brian McGee. Yeah, he's a two-time world boxing champion. I don't know, ask me how it ended up, that's John, okay? He just said, come for training, and I'm like, I did not know what I was signing up for, man. We went through some serious training last Monday, running around, you know, and I just feel like God wants us to get into some training. He wants us to get some training, to be equipped, to be coached. And this is what the Apostle Paul, that's who he is. He's a coach. He coached many, many leaders, many followers. And so the first point I want to make this today, finally be strong in the Lord and in the power and in His mighty power. First of all, we need to recognize God's divine power, friends. When you understand the power that is available to you, you will not be limited. If you understand the power that God has given to us in Him, you know, people are looking for power in all the wrong places. They're looking for things, you know, and this is where it's found. Finally be strong in the Lord and in the power and His mighty power. Recognize God's divine power. It's here. It's for us. Arm yourself for battle. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, how many of you know that the devil have got some schemes, okay? He's a dirty, I call him, he's like a dirty cage fighter. You know, he just wants to get you in this lock, you know, and you know, he wants to destroy. That's ultimately his plan against our lives, against the church, against cities, nations, individuals. So what he's instructing us, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. So it instructs us to put on that armor. What are some schemes? You know, it's him, the deception, the temptations, the lies. That's who he is. He's the father of lies. I remember through my life how he came with these lies, just basically directed at my identity. You're useless. You're a failure. You've got no worth. There's no value. And you know. And so these are the things that we start believing, the things that he starts whispering, things that people say to you. And I believe that he's got a tailor-made temptation. He's got a tailor-made thing just for you. It's that Achilles heel. He knows your weaknesses and he knows your strengths. That's the one thing that the enemy will nail consistently over and over and over again until you come to a point where you cannot stand. You fall down to the ground. You give up. And I'm telling you here today, I have seen too many of my friends give up on God over the years. I've seen too many of them fall back just to the old ways. And I'm like, what just happened? What just happened? So, he wants to share some truths with us that is important. It's the things that he wants us to wear as we go into this battle. That we will go in with confidence. It's going in with assurance. As in Christ, like we've shared before, in Christ, we've inherited, we've received some blessings, we've received some truth, some benefits, okay? It's no longer we that live, but Christ that lives in us. So if we go out on the battlefield, now where is the battlefield? It might be at your school, it might be a situation that you're facing right now, a crisis or wherever it is. It's not like, we see, the battle is moved from the natural to the spiritual. As we read in the scripture, there was a battle going in a battlefield. But even Christians right now, there's some battlefields that they're facing in the Middle East that has moved from the natural to the spiritual, but also from the spiritual to the natural again. But even as we face adversity, that we are armed with some truths. And that's what he wants. He wants to arm you. I'm going to help you. And this is important this morning as we share these truths. Because we see those arrows. You see those arrows just coming at you. Coming at your mind. Coming at your heart. Words. Things that people are saying. Jealousy, hatred, racism. These are the things that we encounter in our cities, in our communities. I had a couple of years ago, I had a dream, and one of the ways God speaks to me is through dreams. Sometimes he makes it very practical. God can speak to you through many ways, through scripture, during prayer, and so one of the dreams I had was I was in this camp, and I remember there was this guy standing on this tower. It's like a watchtower. And I knew he was looking at me from this tower, and I remember I was, I had my shorts on, and I had a t-shirt on, but I just felt so open, so exposed. He had a rifle there and he was like looking at me, and I knew that, man, I was not ready for this battle. I just knew if this guy is going to take me out. And I remember that position of fear. I remember the insecurity. I remember it was like a place. I just wanted to sit in that spiritual bunker and hide there and don't come out. And I knew that I was not ready to face that guy. I knew if I'm going to put my head out, man, he's going to give me one shot and he's going to take me out. And through that, God took me to Ephesians 6 and just reminded me of that we need to be dressed and ready. We need to be armed and ready. And so it wasn't talking about this physical war, this guy going to kill me. It was just things that I knew that was coming, that was happening in the spiritual realm that I just felt. There was no resistance. And I just totally felt exposed. And so this is so important as we go through this part where it says here, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. A friend, it says, when the day of evil comes. How many of you know that what's happening out now? These are evil days. If I hear about what's happening in the Middle East, if I hear about what's happening all around the world, but this is our focus. When I believe that, even when David went up against Goliath, he wasn't focused on the problem. And look, he had a massive problem in front of him, okay? Goliath was huge. But he knew the size of his God. He knew that God was bigger than what he was facing right now. And I love that how David went in with the confidence in God. I'm sure there was a bit of insecurity, there was a bit of fear that he experienced, but he went in the strength of God. And God enabled him to overcome and to stand in that place. Because that's intimidating. And I'm sure if some of you here this morning, you feel intimidated of some of the things that's coming up against you right now. Whatever you're facing, we can feel intimidated by these things in these situations. Stand firm then with the belt of truth. So I want to just go on to, this is what C.S. Lewis says. God, who foresaw your tribulation, has specifically armed you to go through it. Not without pain, but without stain. Love that. He's armed you to go through it. Friends, everything that you need to go through your battle right now, that you need to go through your battle, you have already in Christ. You've received it. But some of us, we've not discovered that yet. And that's what God wants you to know. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. And we've read that one. I'm just going to move on. Okay, stand firm then with the belt of truth, buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. And it's interesting that he would start with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. You know, I think it's so important, don't you think? If you go into a battle, that it is important that you know the truth, that we carry the truth. And so the belt of truth is the first piece of the whole armor of God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's who we walking with, okay? That he is the way, the truth, and the life. Therefore, truth is of the utmost importance in the life of a Christian. Without truth, the rest of the armor would be of no use to us, because we would not have the spirit of truth. And the belt of truth will actually keep the sword in place when they walk. That's what keeps everything tied and in place. And like I said before, that it is a battle for your heart and your mind. And so what the belt of truth does, it keeps the breastplate as well. We get to the breastplate of righteousness. It keeps it in place. But I know it's so important, friends, that as we go in, that we know our God, that we know the truth of what he says in his word. Because that's what the enemy comes. He's the father of lies. So when we're out there, and he will come and he will throw these lies at us, making us question. I mean, if you think about Jesus, the way he was tempted as he went into the desert, he was tempted by Satan. And so Satan came again with these lies. And so I love how Jesus was about his father's business, okay? Him and the father was one. They were walking together. The father said, "Son, I've got your back." And so he knew the truth. He carried the truth with him in that battlefield, in that place where he was tempted. And it's something that's so important that we fall back on and say, this is what God is saying. If he is for me, who can be against me? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There's some things that we draw from in those moments of struggles and challenges. What did God say? And I had to revisit it. And in the times that I've been through, I literally had to go back and things that I wrote in my diary that God, truths that God has given me. And he said, I want you to wear this with you. Wherever you go, take those truths with you. Bind it with you. Carry it with you. Like that armor, that belt. We're not going to take it off. You're carrying it with you. And you're reminded by it every day. And then the breastplate of righteousness. You know, that word righteous means to be in right standing with God. To be in right standing with God. Now, Jesus was in right standing with the Father, okay? And that's where, as he walked and he carried that breastplate with him, not Jesus, but as Christians, as we carry that breastplate with us, it protects our heart. And those are the things that the enemy will try to get into in your heart, to make your heart bitter. Really get into, this area of your life. But it says here, I've been made righteous by His blood. I've been made righteous. I'm in right standing with God. So, you know, walking with Him, knowing that assurance that I'm in right standing with God gives you confidence. Wherever you go, it doesn't question, who am I? You know, that's the last thing you want to know. When you're on that place, you're on the battlefield, that you don't question your own ability, that you know who you are and whose you are. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I just love this readiness. And that's what God wants us to give us in this year, that you'll have a readiness, that feet. Another translation says shoes. That your shoes will be ready to walk. With what? With the gospel of peace. You know, that we will be carriers, friends. If you carry, we carry peace wherever we go. Remember, it's no longer we that live, but Christ that lives in us. That means, you know, that the fruit of the Spirit, we carry that. Love, joy, peace, kindness. Where we go, peace goes, okay? When we go, love goes. Wherever we go, we carry the presence of God. So it's getting that awareness that it's not somehow that, you know, He comes and then He visits us and then He leaves. He's with us. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what He wants us to have. Have that peace. And He wants us to know that stand the ground that has been won for you already. Stand the ground that, you know, that there's a battle that is already won for us. So it's not fighting for victory. It's fighting from a place of victory. That is what He wants you to know this morning. That the battle is already won. Charles Spurgeon says this, like a champion stepping into the arena, Jesus walked in the wilderness. I love that. Here comes this hero, Jesus, stepping in to that wilderness. And I think there's so much that we can learn as we focus and imitate Jesus, His life, the way that He walked on this earth. As He stepped into this arena. The way Jesus did warfare, okay? Jesus didn't just go and shout, you know, there's times that you need to get angry, okay? Don't get me wrong. But I just love the way that He went about His daily walk. At peace with Himself, with the Father. Representing kingdom. Displacing darkness. Okay, why are so many Christians still living defeated lives? Why are so many people that we see today? Because I really believe that, you know, we can be very ignorant of spiritual warfare and of the spiritual realm. You know, I remember just speaking at a church many years ago and just shortly I gave my testimony and, you know, I remember this one girl, she just sat there and just closed, you know, kind of put her fingers in her ears, didn't want to hear about the devil, didn't want to hear about the spiritual realm, about demons and these type of stuff. And I believe that's the ignorance. People just don't know. You know, that is so important that we know that there is a battle going on. But we need to know our position. We don't have to fear, friends. The last thing that the enemy wants you to do, but the one thing that Amy wants you to do is to go and sit in that spiritual bunker and just fear. Just fear. Don't want to live. I mean, there's so much to live for. There's so many things to do, but you just sit in that place, defeated. And so it's important that we know. You don't have to know everything. I mean, look, the spiritual realm is so big. It's vast. So you don't have to know every detail. You don't have to know every demon by name, okay? But it's important that there is an awareness of it. You know, I've heard some of my friends, you know, he really found it hard, you know, in his house and to sleep. And he felt these things coming over him and fear and terror at night. And, you know, and he went to his leader. I think the leader told him that, you know, just to put a little cross there, open the Bible at Psalm 91, you know, and sadly nothing happened, okay? You know, there's some things that he had to do, all right? So when we're in situations like that, God trains you, okay? It's our response to it. It's like, okay, are we going to just sit here and I'm going to just let the little cross do the work, okay? Jesus already done the work, okay? But there's some things that we need to start applying and declaring. And so that's what he started doing. I said to him, you know, just to start praying. Just say, in Jesus' name, I command what's happening right here. I take authority. See, this whole thing about the armor and the position of this Roman soldier is his position of authority. He's under authority. He's walking in authority. So therefore, if you've been given authority, you can speak to these things. You can change the atmosphere where you're at. That presence. And so there's an ignorance that we see. We give the enemy legal right into our lives when we willfully open the door, when we sin. Sin literally means to miss the mark. And I've seen this. I've seen this in people's life. You know, just opening a door. How do we open the door to the enemies when we give him legal right? When we partake in occultic stuff. I mean, things that seems innocent. You know, I've seen people just messing around with Ouija board, whatever, and playing and talking to the dead, crossing over, and things like that. Seriously. Christians that's reading their palms, their stars. You open up yourself to these things. And it's important that you realize, you know, you're playing with fire. You want the blessing of God? Do things according to His Word. Do things according to Scripture. And so when we sin, it says there to miss the mark. That's when we open and we don't repent, okay? You know, yes, we're going to sin. There's things that you're going to do. We all fall sin short, you know, during the week on a daily basis. But, you know, if we're not going to live a life of repentance, you know, and say, Lord, we ask forgiveness for what I've done. I ask forgiveness for watching that. I ask forgiveness for playing that game of whatever. It's important. As you open that door, it's important that you shut it too, okay? All right, I know that I'm talking a little bit about some heavy stuff this morning, but I think it's important, and this is really Paul's desire, that the church will not be ignorant of this. Okay, so do not know the power that is available to them. Okay, that's one of very, very important. It's because people live defeated life. They just don't know what they've inherited. They just don't know what they've received, what is available to them. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. There's tremendous power, dunamis, power available to us as believers of God. And so I've found that, you know, people will come and say, you know, please come and pray, Pastor, come and pray at my house. There's some things happening. It's, you know, all these things going on. And so I can't keep going there every Friday, every Saturday, you know what I mean? It comes to a point where, okay, what is my job? It's to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to help them. And so I started teaching them about spiritual warfare. I started equipping them and how to engage in this battle. What is my position? How do I fight? How do I pray? And so I said to them, you have received authority. We have the same Jesus. There's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. Okay? It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and also in me. So, helping them to understand their position in Christ and how I should pray. And my goodness, did they see some breakthrough? It's quite fun for them. You know, and so they started growing and there's confidence and they're like, yes, let's go. Let's go to other people's homes. Let's go and pray there. Let's go and let's pray for our city. Let's pray against this pawn shop that's just opened up here. Let's pray against that. You know, let's pray against. So they start taking authority in their cities, in their homes. And that's my desire, guys, that you will, from today, just some of the things that you can apply and say, Johan, you know, I want to learn. You know, and one of the ways you're going to learn is we've got a great course on May, this May and June. It's called the Follow Course. And we're going to help you to really grow in spiritual warfare, but also in how to pray, how to walk as a believer. It's called, you know, the Follow Course is Come, Follow, and Lead. And so it helps you, it equips you. And so that's the part that we really want to establish you, that you will stand, friends, that you will not be a yo-yo Christian and be tossed around, thrown around. Okay. And then weak foundations. That's one of the things that I've identified. And I believe that's one of the reasons. When I was 8 years old, there was a time that I needed somebody to spend time and help me and to lay some foundations. Because I believe is that when the storms of life come, the challenges of life, it exposes our foundations. And it's important what we build on, what we put in our foundations. Knowing your identity, okay? These are things that we're going to cover in this course. Knowing your identity. So foundations is important to us as we move forward. Just stand with me this morning. I'm going to just pray for you because there's a couple of things that there's another one. Passive and complacent in prayer and warfare, okay? I want to end with that. Very important. Conrad is going to share a bit about prayer next week. But I believe this is where he really gets you, when there's a passivity and there's a complacency in your prayer life, where he actually, where prayer does not exist in your life. And we cannot just simply back and allow this to happen. We have to engage in a battle. But again, it's praying from a place, knowing that you are victorious, that you already won the battle. Okay, so how many of you can honestly say you've been struggling in your prayer life this morning? Just put up your hand. Just say, you know, you find it very hard to pray. It feels like your prayers are hitting the ceiling. You just feel like it's ineffective. You're not getting anywhere. You really feel stuck in that area. But I'm going to pray for you. Maybe, Lenny, if you could just come up and just play. Thank you. Let's just pray. Father, we want to thank you, God, for your word this morning. Father, God, we thank you for the Apostle Paul. We thank you for his heart, Lord, for the church, for your people, God. Father, I thank you that you are truly equipping us, Father, for the work of the ministry. Father, and you're showing us new things. And I know even people here this morning, as they heard the word, Father, this is new to them, Father, God. And Father, you are opening our eyes to Scripture and in Scripture, God. And Father, you're showing us your position, Father, our position in you, Father. Father, we thank you for the authority that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to fear evil. We thank you, Lord, that, Father, as your word said, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, Father God. And I pray that you will help us to walk in confidence in this season of our lives. Lord, I know some of us have been struck down, but we are not defeated. Father, we pray that you will encourage them, Father. I pray you'll strengthen them. Father, your word says it's not by might nor by power, but by your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you will give them strength, Lord. As your word says in Acts 1:8, that the Spirit will come upon us and we'll receive power to be your witness. I pray that you empower this church, that you empower individuals, Lord, that you will show them, Father, that they are sons, that there is more for them than against them, that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for these promises, Lord. And I pray, I thank You for this breastplate of righteousness, Lord. I thank You that we can be in right standing with You, Father. Lord, I thank You. And I just declare this over this church this morning, the full armor of God. Father, I pray that You'll arm them with the full armor of God, that You will protect their hearts, Lord. Protect their minds in Jesus' name against the lies of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And I thank You, Father, that we are victorious in You. And I thank You for the victory that you've already defeated the enemy. But help us to apply these truths. And I pray for our prayer lives, Lord. I pray it will grow. I pray that You will, Father, give us a hunger for prayer. And show us how to pray in the Spirit. How to intercede, Lord, not just for ourselves. Lord, we realize there's people going through battles in this city, Father. And we want to ask You that You will use us. Show us how to pray for them in Jesus' name. And even, Father, people stuck in spiritual bunkers with fear. I just come against fear in the name of Jesus. I take authority right now and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We rebuke fear in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank You, God. I know that we prayed for some people here earlier. We're going to close the service. But I want to really pray. I really believe that there's some people here this morning and you're struggling, you know, in your relationship with God, but you're also, you know, you're facing some real battles at this time. And I want us just as a team, we're going to have a prayer team up here. We want to pray. We want to do some ministry this morning. So please don't rush off. Please don't rush off. God wants to minister to you this morning. So we're going to just end off with a song. And I want us just to, if you want prayer, please come forward. Come forward and we're going to pray for you. Okay?